السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشہد ان محمدا عبدہ ورسولہ. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ رب العالمین الرحمن الرحیم مالک یوم الدین اِیَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِیَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وأن المساجد لله فلا تدعوا مع الله أحدا. قل أمر ربي بالقسط وأقيموا وجوهكم عند كل مسجد ودوه مخلصين له الدين كما بدأكم قودوا. ان آیات کا ترجمہ یہ ہے کہ
حضور says the translation of the verses of the Holy Quran I recited is, and surely all places of worship belong to Allah, so call not on anyone beside Allah. This is a verse from Surah or chapter Al-Jinn of the Holy Quran. The second verse I recited is from Surah Al-Araf. The translation of that verse is, say, my Lord has enjoined justice, and fix your attention aright at every time and place of worship, and call upon Him, making yourselves sincere towards Him in religion. As He brought you into being, so shall you return. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. We have been enabled to construct and inaugurate a mosque here in this area today. I should mention for the information of the world that this area is called Feltham and it is near to Hounslow. For this reason, this is a joint mosque in this area as there are two jamaats here, north and south. In fact, from conversations with regional Amir Sahib, it would appear that this mosque is the central mosque of the area, as I presume that this is the largest mosque in this area at present. People will come to this mosque to perform the Jummah, that is the Friday prayers and also other prayers, because this indeed is the purpose of a mosque. May Allah make it so that the Jamaat is enabled to construct a mosque in every place of this area, so that that desire of the promised Messiah alayhi salam and his guidance can both be fulfilled. And our mosques can become a means of the introduction of the Jamaat and Islam, and new avenues of tabligh or preaching can open, so that the world can come to learn the real teachings of Islam. Because today, in this era, it is Jamaat Ahmadiyya alone which presents to the world the true face of Islam. Further, the construction of mosque is also of vital significance to us, because it is mentioned in a tradition that Hadrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, may Allah be pleased with her, has stated that the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, once said, rather he once commanded, that within your tribes, your local areas and your homes, build mosques. In those days, the local areas would be populated according to tribes. In fact, even if we observe nowadays, there are certain nations which, when they settle elsewhere, they prefer to group together in a certain area. Wherever Chinese people go, they form a Chinatown. Nonetheless, this tradition states that build a mosque in every area and also keep them clean and pure. In the same way, the Holy Quran has commanded the building of mosques in many places. Thus, mosques hold vast significance, especially for us, we who call ourselves Ahmadi Muslims. This is because where, on the one hand, we make arrangements for a pure and clean place to perform our congregational prayers. There, when countless misconceptions regarding Islam are being raised in the current time, we should present the beautiful teachings of Islam before the world. Although in this area, Southall and Hounslow, we have other centers, as I have been informed, where people gather together to perform the prayers. There are also Jamaat programs which are held, and there are even functions held with non-Ahmadis. However, the building of an actual mosque opens up new avenues. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, within this very area and region, the Jamaat Hayes have also built a mosque. Inshallah, God enabling, that mosque will be inaugurated next week. This mosque, from which this khutbah or sermon is currently being delivered, although the actual building of this mosque is not, as it is called, a purpose-built mosque, it was an office block that was converted into a mosque. Similarly, in Hayes, a community center was converted into a mosque. May Allah make it so that these mosques that were converted from different buildings into mosques can become the means of Islam's teachings being spread. May they also become the means of our faith progressing. The strengthening of the faith has a close relationship with the establishment of mosques. In these verses of the Holy Quran I recited, God the Supreme has elucidated the importance of mosques, that how the importance and the objectives of mosques can be safeguarded and should be. This has been mentioned in other places of the Holy Quran also. In any case, in these verses, Allah the Exalted has said that mosques are places which are purely for the sake of Allah. Those who come to mosque should come as pure abds. Within mosque, there should never be mention of kufr, disbelief, shirk, associating partners with God, or even anything related to worldly matters. For this reason, the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, forbade business matters being discussed. In fact, he even did not permit lost property to be announced within mosques. Indeed, what is permitted after the worship of God the Almighty is discussing plans of how to spread the message of God the Exalted all over the world. forming plans of how to bring the world near to God the Supreme, and to prepare oneself to implement and act upon this. What is also permitted is consultation of how to make provisions for the means of the betterment of the creation of God and to offer oneself for this service. Here in this first verse, it has been clarified, فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. We say that our mosques are open for everyone, as this is normally what we state before the world. One meaning of this, which is normally expressed in our mosques, is that anyone, whatever religion he may belong to, or even if he holds no religion, is free to come to our mosque. Such persons indeed do come and we hold programs for them. But we must always keep the following command of Allah before us, that mosques are for the sake of the worship of Allah the Exalted. If we permit a person belonging to another religion to worship in the mosque, it is only worshipping purely and solely God, because we find in every religion the concept of the one God. So therefore the aspect of their worship relating to one God can most certainly be carried out in our mosques. But that aspect of worship relating to idols, that is shirk, associating partners with God, that can be carried out outside the mosque. Hence, with this stipulation and condition, a person of any religion can come to our mosque to worship. Mosques are places where shirk, associating partners with God, are most certainly not allowed. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And surely all places of worship belong to Allah. The purpose of building mosques is for people to gather together to worship the one God. These are houses of God, and God has commanded that if you want to come to my house for worship, worship me and me alone, and act upon all my commands. In the first verse, this very subject matter is entailed, that the being of God alone is that one unique being. Those who move far away from him will be liable for punishment for the deeds they perform. And after the advent of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, this matter becomes even further evident and clarified. God the Exalted has decreed that his oneness should now be established in the world through the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Mosques are a means of the fulfillment of this objective. Now in the world, the oneness and truth of God the Supreme will only and only be spread through the means of mosques. Thus, those persons who claim to believe in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and we, who, in order to fulfill the mission of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, claim to be a part of the Jamaat or the community of his true servant. And our objective should only and only be this, that we come to the mosque for the worship of the one God, so that the standard of our worship can increase, and so that we can establish a living connection with God the Supreme. And on the other hand, we should become the means of spreading this light of truth all over the world. So when you need to spread the light of truth all across the world, it is insufficient to merely claim to worship apparently. Rather, through this light you must illuminate your own selves. In the second verse of Surah Al-A'raf that I recited, within it, God the Almighty has first commanded regarding justice. Allah the Exalted states, قُلْ أَمَرَ رَبِّي بِالْقِسْطِ, that say, my Lord has enjoined justice. This command was given to the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. But it also addresses every Mu'min, true believer, who claims to believe in him. Thus, here, first of all, the following command has been announced, that establish justice, establish other people's rights, treat other people's without any kind of discrimination, and tread on the path of taqwa, that is righteousness and the fear of God. People who develop this state and these qualities are the very people who focus all their attention and strength towards God the Supreme and do full justice to His worship. Thus, it is those who are pure of heart who fulfill the rites of worship. Those persons in whom is not found piety, purity and justice, neither discharge Hakukul Abad, the rights due to mankind, nor do they fulfill the rights of Hakukullah, the rights due to Allah. Such persons may act piously and justly in one matter, but in other matters they are devoid of justice and equity. Thus, it is taqwa that enables justice to be established. It is taqwa that inclines a person towards God the Almighty. It is taqwa that enables a person to do full justice to worship. God the Supreme states that at the time of prayer, when you go towards the mosques, if out of human nature, worldly matters, materialism or personal interests diverts your attention towards other directions, then with the call to prayer, your thoughts and your focus should be towards the commands of God the Exalted and should make you into a true abd or servant of God. Otherwise, this worship is of no value. Your coming to the mosque would thus be meaningless. Therefore, when you make your religion pure, you have been commanded to supplicate to God the Almighty and call Him and for the attainment of the right standards of worship. A condition has been placed to abide by the divine commands. We must also implement Allah the Almighty's injunctions. It is the fear of God the Supreme and also taqwa alone that can lead one to fulfilling the rights of the people of God. When all of these matters are abided by, it leads one to doing full justice to the worship of God the Exalted. Then God the Almighty states, Kama bada'akum ta'udun, as He brought you into being before, so after you pass away. You shall once again return towards God, the Almighty. Every person should recall that all his deeds that he performs in this world will be the source of his reward or punishment in the next. Thus, God the Almighty says, your physical creation, your passing through various stages of life and your living in this life should draw your attention towards the fact that in the life after death there are also different stages through which the soul must pass. Thus, for this life after death, and for the proper and better development of the soul, one should be concerned about his actions in this life. One can truly be concerned when the rites of God's worship are fulfilled, and when one sincerely worships purely for the sake of pleasing God the Exalted. One should make full efforts to implement his commands. During worship, it should be borne in mind that I am standing before God. And whilst focusing sincerely and devotedly towards God, one should realize that it is worship alone that can grant me the favors and grace and bounties of God Almighty in this life and in the hereafter. How can sincere and devoted worship be carried out? In answering a question by a person who asked how one should stand before God, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, stated regarding what one should do in such a situation, said the main thing is that it is written in the Quran, Ud'u Mukhlisina Lahuddin, that making yourself sincere towards him in religion, one should deeply ponder over God's favors. As who says, there are numberless favors of God the Almighty upon man, especially those who live here. They have freedom of religion. God has also bestowed numerous favors upon them in worldly matters. The promised Messiah thus says, one should deeply ponder over God's favors. This should be done with sincerity and grace, and one should be inclined to him with the awareness that he alone is the Lord and real maker. The essence of the principle of worship is that one should stand before God as if one can see him, or he should stand before God as if God is watching over him. One should be free of every kind of adulteration and every kind of shirk, that is, associating partners with God, and be mindful of God's greatness and his rububiyat or providence only. One should supplicate with the prescribed prayers and also other prayers profusely, and should seek forgiveness and ask for repentance in profusion. He should repeatedly confess his weakness so that his self can be purified, and a true connection with God is formed, and so that he can be absorbed in his love. Hazur says, thus, this is the condition that a true believer should try to inculcate within him. And a mosque is the most excellent means of forming this state and reminding one towards this. Hence, we must always remember that after the building of a mosque, our responsibilities increase far greater than before. Here we have to do justice to worship. And on the other hand, we must give full inclination to the other commands of God, the Exalted. We must give more attention than before. Otherwise, we will not be those who implement Mukhlisina Lahuddin. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated that now this is the era when hypocrisy, selfishness, arrogance, pride, and other base practices have advanced. And Mukhlisina Lahuddin, making yourself sincere towards him in religion, and other virtuous acts have left the earth, and reliance on God and other such matters are invalidated. Hazur says, in other words, reliance on worldly matters and selfishness is continuously increasing. Trust in the one God has diminished. Rather, there is greater focus on the so-called gods of the world. There is less inclination towards rububiyat, providence of God, and people do not do full justice to worship. There is absolutely no attention or regard towards those commands of Allah the Almighty He has given. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, states, how can such people emulate Mukhlisin al-Huddin, that is, making yourself sincere towards him in religion? How can they fulfill the due right of this? Then he says, now it is the will of God to sow the seeds in them. In other words, the sowing of the seeds of these virtuous acts. How is this the will of God? By sending the promised Messiah alayhi salam in this era, God has caused his will to come into implementation. Thus, when we claim to associate ourselves with the promised Messiah in whom be peace, we need to detach ourselves from worldliness and become sincere. And as I stated earlier, it is only then when we will fulfill the objective of the building of a mosque. Alongside our worship, we need to focus on the reformation of our deeds. One who implements this will be living up to the pledge of allegiance of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. The words of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, that now it is the will of God that the seeds will be sown in them. These are not just mere words. Rather, these revolutionary changes through these seeds being sown did most certainly occur. 123 years before today, the sowing of the seeds did take place, and hundreds of thousands of Ibadus Salihin, righteous servants of God, were formed, and their results also manifested. We find this treatment of God prevalent also today. The newcomers who join the Jamaat, they join with this thought, that how can they establish a living connection with God Almighty? How can they enhance their levels of worship? And how can they acquire the highest standards in this regard, through which a person becomes one who acquires God's pleasure? At this time, a large number of those of you sitting before me are of such Ahmadis, whose fathers and forefathers became Ahmadis, who understood the will of God the Exalted, and took the bet, the pledge of allegiance of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. They established the standards of Huquq Allah and Huquq Al-Abad, the rights due to God and mankind. Thus, in order to reap further fruit from the worship of these elders and holies of our community, it is the obligation of the coming generations to not only maintain that living connection with God, but rather to enhance it further. It is this quality alone that will distinguish the Jamaat of the promised Messiah alayhi salam from others. Otherwise, the outer form of prayers, reciting the Holy Quran and performing fasts are carried out by many other people. The distinction between us and others will only become evident at the point when every one of our actions will be carried out solely for the sake of Allah, and when in worldly matters also we search for how we can please God. At such a time when you go to the mosque, at the time of worship, all your focus and concentration will be towards God, and you will make the religion sincere for His sake, and you will only supplicate and call to Him. Our concentration in prayer will not be towards our business, will not be towards our work. It will not be towards fulfilling materialistic and worldly desires. Nor will it be towards retribution in worldly matters. Rather, leaving everything in the hands of God, He will submit to Him. May Allah make it so that for the sake of attaining Allah's pleasure, we implement the commands of God the Exalted. May Allah make it so that we implement those commands that have been instructed by Allah in the Holy Quran, that we should be those who progress in piety, enhance in taqwa, and be saved from sin and also excesses, and that we carry out a jihad or a struggle against this. It is not sufficient to just save yourself from this, but rather you must also carry out a jihad or a struggle. In the Holy Quran, Allah the Supreme has stated, وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَن صَدُّوكُمْ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ أَن تَعْتَدُوا وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. And let not the enmity of a people that they hindered you from the sacred mosque incite you to transgress, and help one another in righteousness and piety, but help not one another in sin and transgression, and fear Allah, surely Allah is severe in punishment. Today, an objection is raised against Islam that it is extremist, and that it is a religion that prefers war. It is said that God forbid Islam was spread by force, and that those religions that were opposed to Islam, Islam raised a sword against all of them. In this part of the verse, Allah the Almighty has provided a rebuttal to this objection against Islam, that those who are pure servants of God the Almighty, who are in search of the pleasure of God the Exalted, who worship only for the sake of Allah. They should never transgress against the enemy in any way. Those who transgressed or oppressed them should not be responded to with transgression or oppression. Therefore, a Muslim and a true mu'min, a believer who desires the pleasure of God Almighty in the matters of piety and taqwa, is ever ready to cooperate with every person, Muslims and non-Muslims alike. And he is averse to sin and transgression. And in such matters, he will never cooperate because it is contrary to taqwa. Such acts are tantamount to wasting one's worship of God. Prayers that prove to be an impediment in the performing of virtuous acts and support transgression and are devoid of taqwa are simply prayers of pretense. Such worship and such prayers in God's sight hold no value. God states about those who pray in this manner, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ. So woe to those who pray. We who have believed in the Imam of this time, and who rejuvenate our pledge to follow the teachings of Islam, it can never be expected from any one of us that when we come to the mosque for worship, to attain that purpose for which the mosque was constructed, yet we become embroiled in sin and oppression. Thus, the local Ahmadis must try to remove the reservations held by the people of this area. On the one hand, the construction of a mosque opens up new avenues for tabligh, but on the other hand, it intensifies opposition. The reason why Muslims oppose us is because their ulama or their religious clergy present an incorrect image of Ahmadiyyat. And it is purported that, God forbid, Ahmadis attack the finality of the prophethood of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Whereas in truth, Ahmadis always profess that we have the greatest belief in the seal of prophethood of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. This perception and insight has been granted to us by the Holy Prophet's ardent devotee, the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Nonetheless, the opposition by the Muslims is faced by us. Similarly, local non-Muslims also have misconceptions in their mind regarding Islam. And due to that incorrect image in their mind, they transgress against us. Some of these include those who are just racist, who are against anyone who is not from this country, and they transgress. So we are targets of transgression from every side. Day before yesterday, some inappropriate words were written on the walls here, or people threw some paint or try to throw rubbish. This is a result of that very enmity embedded in the hearts that is found in the non-Muslims. Therefore, we must strive to remove the doubts and suspicions from all types of peoples about Islam, and this can occur when we worship sincerely for the sake of Allah the Almighty, and when we do full justice to the construction of the mosque. Similarly, you must always remember that the beauty of the Jamaat is entailed in the fact that we try to excel each other in performing virtuous and pious acts. We should develop our mutual relationships in such a way for the sake of Allah the Almighty that everyone who observes it, that this mutual love and mutual brotherhood is an outstanding feature of this Jamaat. Another significance of the commandment of coming to the mosque in congregation is to provide a spectrum of a jamaat or a community, and so that all can unite as if one body, and so that mutual love can increase and enmities can be dispelled. Counseling us, the promised Messiah, Unknown Be Peace, states, it should be the routine to help and strengthen brothers who are weak. How inappropriate is it that there are two brothers, one knows how to swim while the other does not? Is it not the obligation of the first one to save the other from drowning, or should he just let him drown? Indeed, it is his duty to save his brother from drowning. This is why the Quran states, Ta'awanu alal birri wa taqwa, that help your weak brothers and be their helper in practical, spiritual and financial weaknesses, as well as treat their physical ailments. A jamaat or a community cannot be a community unless the strong support the weak. The way to address this is to cover their faults. The Sahaba or the companions were also taught not to be irritated by the weaknesses of the new Muslims, because they too were once weak. Similarly, it is important that one who is of high status serves one who is lowly and treats him with love and kindness. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam says, a community cannot be a community when they devour one another. When a few sit together, they complain about their poor brother and criticize him and pick out faults, and they look down in contempt on the weak and hatred. This should never be the case. Rather, there should be strength and unanimity and unity, which generates love and derives blessings. Why are moral strengths not extended? This comes to pass when sympathy, love, forgiveness and kindness are made common, and sympathy and covering others' fault is given precedent over other practices. Criticism should not be levied on trivial matters which can cause grief and hurt. A community is created when some are sympathetic to others and faults are covered. When this condition is achieved, then people can become as one and consider each other more than real brothers. God reminded the companions of this mode and blessing. Even if they had spent mountains of gold, they would not have found the unity that they found through the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Similarly, God has established this movement on the same mode and will establish similar unity here. Hazru says, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, was sent to bring about this revolution in order to re-establish taqwa and to form a sincere community of people who fulfill the rights of Hukukullah and Hukukul-Abad, the rights due to Allah and due to mankind, and become true servants of God. Therefore, our happiness is not limited merely to the building of mosques. Rather, alongside the construction of mosques, whilst following the practice of Mukhlisina Lahuddin, making yourself sincere towards religion, become true servants of God. In the current era, when for the sake of the attainment of materialistic and worldly needs, there is as if a race. In this context, to attain this standard most certainly attracts the grace and blessings of Allah the Almighty. Today, with the grace of Almighty Allah, through the promised Messiah, Unknown Be Peace, the true message of Islam is reaching the corners of the earth. Non-Muslims also accept Islam and are becoming Ibadur Rahman, the true servants of Allah. At the same time, Muslims are also being removed from innovations and are comprehending what real Islam is, and are coming into the Pledge of Allegiance of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. As I stated at the outset, true Islam is only presented in this era by the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, who came in representation of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. In my mail of day before yesterday, I was reading over a letter of an Uzbek Ahmadi. In it, he had expressed the manner in which God, the Almighty, had transformed his entire situation and state. This is God's grace and bounty. How he makes people continuously join the Jamaat and be removed from innovations. So he has written this in Uzbek language, and the translation is, there are things in the life we are living through now which we have remained completely unaware of. Those words were never heard by a person before. That is, not reading the Holy Quran over a dead person, he's mentioning innovations he was embroiled in, or believing Hazrat Isa, Jesus, peace be upon him, to pass away. I studied books of the promised Messiah alayhi salam with patience. Hazur says he had read the books of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, of which only a few had been translated into his language. So he says, as I read these books, in my heart a light immersed and gave me strength continuously. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. After reading these books, I realized that for a long period of time, I was far removed from the path of to God. I request you for prayers that the divine strength and light attained through the Jamaat assimilates my entire body. I am grateful, Hazur says, that he writes that I am grateful that I have saved myself from the life of innovation previously. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah. He writes that if you go into the lanes of our village, you will find these very people embroiled in innovations. Hazur says, look at how the newcomers are ridding themselves of the innovations. We should make maximum efforts in this regard. As I stated, there are many descendants of the holy and elder people. They should remove these innovations, these transgressions and sins. Do not just become gripped by the materialism and worldliness of this time. Otherwise, these newcomers will prove to surpass us. So this Uzbek Ahmadi continues to write the following. He says, from the article family, I am 68 years old. And he says, my name is Rasul Jan. Everyone in the household accepts the promised Messiah alayhi salam has come. It is our desire that we are counted amongst those who testify to this. Alongside this, we request you for prayers, especially that God the Almighty in our future generations produces religious leaders and also doctors. Perhaps there is a shortage of doctors there, Hazur says. So he says, religious scholars, they already have so-called religious scholars. But he is requesting prayers for true religious scholars to be produced, who will be real Ibad al-Rahman, servants of God, who will be those who correctly follow the commands of Allah the Almighty and do full justice to His injunctions. Our missionary has written an introduction to this new Ahmadi. That this new Ahmadi used to be fiercely opposed to Ahmadiyyat. His son became Ahmadi first, but he continued his opposition and threatened his son that I shall remove you from the home. However, he came in 2008 for the Khilafat Jubilee Jalsa, and through this means, he was so impacted that he took to bear the pledge of allegiance. And this missionary writes that he is so advanced in his loyalty and devotion that through the promised Messiah, Anum be peace, he has developed a special affection of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He writes that when we debated with him before he became an Ahmadi, he fiercely abhorred the promised Messiah, Anum be peace. But now his state is such that he has become fiercely dedicated to the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Before, when he was given books of the Jamaat, he would oppose fervently. But after the philosophy of the teachings of Islam was translated into Uzbek and given to him, he says, I read it a first time and I understood. A second time I read it and I was reassured further, and now I am reading it a third time. Hazur says, so this is the state of the faith of the newcomers who are enhancing continuously. May Allah enable such persons in states such as this one of former Russia, that the time comes when we witness the fulfillment of the revelation of the promised Messiah salam, that we see Ahmadiyyat in such profusion like grains of sand. Therefore, in this era, through the promised Messiah alayhi salam, the world is coming to learn what true Islam really is. These are those areas where we do not yet have any mosques. In fact, we do not have full and open permission to even carry out preaching. And thus, we are not able to adequately introduce Ahmadiyyat. But still, Allah the Exalted, accepting the prayers of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, is transforming the current towards us. And people are being introduced to Jamaat themselves. And inshallah, the victory of Ahmadiyyat will be carried out through prayers. We who lived in these Western countries, where we have religious freedom, and there is no restriction upon our worship, we should pray for those people who live in those former Russian states that I mentioned, and also some other Muslim countries, where we do not have full permission to carry out tabligh freely, that Allah the Almighty removes these restrictions and prohibitions, and that they can also freely become a part and join the Jamaat of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and become those who build mosques. I stated that there is religious freedom in the countries here, but despite this, the law here has given such powers to the council and the neighbors that if they so ever desire, they can prevent any building from being constructed. In the building of the mosque here, even after the permission from the council, some people places hindrances in our plan. For this reason, the mosque was built late. The permission for the building of the mosque was cancelled. But I believe, as a result of the prayers of the Ahmadis here, which was accepted by Allah the Almighty, when this matter was raised to the court, it was judged in our favor, to the extent that all legal costs were placed upon the council. In this manner, the Ahmadis here received justice from the local courts. And for this reason, the Ahmadis should be extremely grateful to the courts. We should also be grateful to God the Almighty upon this favor and grace of His. And this should lead us to further submitting and prostrating before Allah the Exalted, and into fulfilling the rights of the mosque and becoming a true abd or servant of Allah the Supreme. In order to truly be grateful, we need to come to the mosque here 5 times a day. It is mentioned in a hadith narrated by Hazrat Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that angels continuously pray for every one of you until, that is, you stay in the place where you offer the prayer. And the angels say they have prayed, so O Allah, forgive him. O Allah, have mercy on him, for he has prayed. Hazur says, how fortunate are those persons for whom angels pray. Then, along with the prayers of the angels, people's own prayers are also combined, and this thus attracts God's grace. What more could one want who has God's forgiveness and mercy? May Allah also include us in those who attain His forgiveness and mercy. In the end, I will also provide some details that I have been given regarding the mosque itself. I mentioned some details at the outset already regarding how the mosque was built and converted from a previous building. The total expenditure on the construction and on the mosque was approximately £900,000. And with the grace of God the Almighty, I believe perhaps both the Jamaats of Hanzala, as I have been told, have borne the entire expenditure of this project. Some other Jamaats may have also contributed some chanda. If we only include the Jamaats of Hanzala and Feltham, then there are approximately 200 chanda contributing members. There are in total 600 members in these two Jamaats. So they bore this expenditure and built this mosque. Even if we include the region, then at most it would come to 400 members. Even then, it was a very high amount. whatever the circumstances, great sacrifices have been offered by the Jamaat with the grace of God. May Allah the Almighty accept their sacrifices. In particular, there are 6 persons who made significant sacrifices, who in sum total gave approximately £280,000. One person gave over £100,000, and the others gave between £20,000 and £50,000. May Allah the Almighty bless all of these people abundantly. Finally, by way of reminder, I would like to state that the right of a mosque is not fulfilled just by its construction or by just giving sacrifices of £20,000, £50,000 or £100,000. This purpose can never be attained only through this. The real objective of a mosque can only be fulfilled by populating the mosque, and by populating the mosque with such persons who come only for the sake of Allah with devotion and sincerity, and who are so influenced that when they leave the mosque, they fulfill the rights of God's people, who advance in piety and taqwa. And it is these very aspects that enable us to do full justice to the bet or the pledge of allegiance of the promised Messiah alayhi salam. May Allah enable us to fulfill this. I would also like to make an appeal for prayers. In Pakistan, we routinely face issues on a daily basis, but even in Hyderabad, India, in the place of Dakhan, the non-Ahmadis have their eyes cast upon a mosque and want to seize it, because there is a large majority of Muslims in that area. Through their hue and cry, the local government is being influenced by them. May Allah the Almighty save us from their evil.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر